The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app.
Oh, it's time for saying good Shabbos. Yeah. Wish you a Shabbos that is better than you ever had before. No, no, we wish you a good Shabbos. Yeah.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. Sit back, relax, enjoy the heat. This is July, after all. And yes, it's finally hot. Don't complain, because just remember what you were thinking about in February as you were in the greater Michigan area. In this half hour of the show, we will be talking with artist and author Esti Frankel-Fersel, who has done a very interesting concept. The book is called Converted Masters, World Famous Masterpieces with a Jewish Twist. She's done like all the, anything, if you know about a painting, she has a painting over there and she kind of like inserts some Jewish stuff in it. Some of it's funny, some of it's poignant. We will talk about that. We have an eclectic assortment of a cappella music as we are in what is referred to as the 3 weeks. And we'll be talking in the second half hour about the 3 weeks and maybe tie it in with a portion of Pinchas, which is the book of Numbers, chapter 24 and following. We have a Hasidic story at the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Jerusalem averted what could have been a major tragedy as they arrested an Arab in his 20s approaching the light rail train. The Arab was carrying a pipe bomb. The man was arrested and the bomb was detonated by sappers. And Baruch Hashem, no one was hurt. Two IDF soldiers were killed when a grenade one of them was holding exploded. One of the soldiers killed was a lone soldier from New Jersey. Raymonde, an elderly Jewish woman who was badly injured in the terror attack in Nice last week, died of her injuries. Her sister, Clara Bissimon, remains unconscious in the same hospital. Israeli Foreign Minister Dor Gold was in Chad this week for talks to renew relations between the two countries. Chad broke ties with Israel during the 1973 Arab oil embargo. That was 43 years ago. Official diplomatic ties were established this week with Guinea, located near Chad. African nations generally are establishing relations with Israel. Prime Minister was in four countries last week, as many African nations are experiencing Islamic insurgent and are looking for help from Israel. And finally, Adam Stevens, a Jewish candidate for the Arizona State Legislature, found anti-Semitic messages spray-painted on his driveway in suburban Phoenix. The county sheriff's office is investigating. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have on the line Mrs. Esti Frankel-Fersel. She's written a book called Converted Masters, World Famous Masterpieces with a Jewish Twist. How are you, Esti?
Thank you.
It is
nice to be talking to you this morning.
It is our pleasure. Okay, so the book suggests you're an artist. So could you tell us, how did you get into art?
How did I get into art? As a kid, there was a little school, a community art school, and my parents just signed me up. I always liked coloring, drawing, and I guess I was around 10 years old when I started taking classes, and I learned the basics of oil painting there. And that's how I got started. I actually stayed in with that little local art school for until I was probably 20 years old. So that's where I really learned the basics.
Mm-hmm. And this was in New York City?
Yes, Brooklyn.
Okay, to be exact.
Brooklyn, New York.
Okay, indeed. So the book that that this Converted Masters conveys a tremendous depth of art history. So there's a lot of people that are into painting and media and stuff that don't get into the academic intellectual aspects. What attracted you to that, Esty?
Well, I've been around to museums. I enjoy going to museums. I've been to the Louvre in Paris. But truthfully, how it all started was, it started with one Monet. The Monet with the bridge over water lilies. And I don't know, it just popped into my head one day. I was looking and I said, wouldn't it be fun to put a family on the bridge doing Tashlich? And so I ordered a poster of that, and I just painted onto the poster the family doing Tashlich. And friends and family got a kick out of that. They thought it was really fun. So it got me thinking, what else can I do? You know, what else, what other famous works can I put a Jewish twist in? And that's when I started just looking, you know, really delving into artists and their different collections. You know, the next one that I looked into was Van Gogh. And that was my next painting. I took the Starry Night, you know, the one with a lot of moons, and I put a couple of Hasidim on the bottom in the left-hand corner doing Kiddush Levana. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got started.
Okay, and this has been a you've been doing this then as a project of your entire adult life then?
Oh no, well, I started around 7 years ago. It's and it was a hobby. It was something I did on the side. I'm a social worker, and it was a really nice little outlet for me.
Okay, listening. I have a daughter. I'm raising my chuckling. I have a daughter who went to college and got a degree, and her undergrad was psychology. And then I asked her about pursuing it further, and she said, I don't think I want to sit and listen to people's problems all day. So you need, obviously, you need, as a person who does, so you need an outlet to release all of that, other people's stresses that you've put yourself into, Esty.
Exactly.
Wonderful.
It was a wonderful outlet.
Okay, so...
Yeah, and some of it is humorous. So,
yeah, I was going to talk about that as well. Some of it, like I say, some of it is humorous and some of it is quite poignant. How did you come to decide to pick which pictures? My wife is an art historian, and she knows every single one of these pictures that's in this book that you've parodied or upon whatever copied. And the artist and everything about it, behind it, she's really into art history.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these pictures I know because, like, I've been around the block a couple times. Like, I know about Monet, and I know about American Gothic, and these are things that, you know, American Gothic was parodied. It was on this when I was a kid. It was on this on a box of cornflakes, you know. So it's a picture which has been around. So how did you come to pick which pictures that you picked?
Good question. Well, you know, so first I went after Monet, Van Gogh. Michelangelo, you know, God Touching Adam. I added the tefillin to both hands. And pretty soon on, I realized, you know, this could lend itself to a coffee table book. And so I decided to really take the most world-famous masterpieces because then people would recognize it. And, you know, when I put a Jewish twist in it, it would mean something.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even for me, for somebody, many of the pictures that I didn't recognize, but because you included the original, I went, oh, that's clever. Yes. So go ahead,
yeah,
sorry.
Some of them are less known, like Kandinsky, Frederick Leighton. That's why it was important for me to get the before and after image. I was able to get copyrights to use a thumbnail of the original. For those who didn't know, you know, certain paintings, they can compare and contrast.
You actually had to get permission for, like, the estate of these various
Absolutely. That was the not fun part of this project. The fun part was painting it, thinking up the ideas. I thought it would be simpler because, you know, the law is that once it is 75 years past the death of the artist, it's in the public domain.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, you know, easy enough.
So you didn't have to contact Picasso's estate then, because it's been more than 75 years.
I did. Because Picasso actually is more recent. So for the ones that are more recent, like Andy Warhol,
mm-hmm.
there are a couple, you know, Norman Rockwell, their estates I did have to contact. That was a lot of work. And sometimes I had to pay a nice hefty royalty fee.
Wow.
Yeah. That was a lot of work.
Let's talk about that just a half a second. So you contacted, say, the estate of Norman Rockwell, and you kind of showed them this picture, which was a parody of a famous Norman Rockwell.
Right.
How did they take to it? Did they look at it as being sacrilegious, or like, ha, ha, that's so cute?
You know, they didn't comment cute or not. It was all about this is what the fee is.
Oh, straight business.
Copyrights, and there was a separate fee for actually using the image. So they didn't give me their feedback on whether they liked it or not.
They didn't care. Just show me the gelt, as they say, right?
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. There were two artists who actually did not. I had, you know, paintings, and I could not use. I did not gain permission.
Okay.
Are meant to alter the images.
Are you allowed to say their names so I can, like, boycott them in museums? I'm not
looking
at that picture because you didn't give permission for Esti Frankel-Fursel to put it in her book.
They're not very famous. Well, they're not one of the most famous artists, so I don't know, you know, how often you'll come across them. But, you know, I worked my way around it. Barnett Newman, Rothko, actually. Philip Rothko
mm-hmm.
did not give me permission to use their images. And I was really disappointed because he's the one that has, like, these blocks of color.
Blocks of color, yes.
And what I did was I created the 7 days of creation. That was my take on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really disappointed. And then I just realized I kept, you know, going online, you know, different artists, blocks of color, and I found Barnett Newman. So instead of using Rothko, I used Newman. Which mm-hmm. is pretty similar to, you know, for my purposes and what I needed.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you bring up the Barnett Newman as one of the major points of contention that has. I'm married 34 years already, 33 years, and one of my wife who is this tremendous. My wife could stand at a picture that she has never seen before, and mm-hmm. talk to you about it for an hour without exaggeration.
Wow.
She's just amazing with the lights and the shadings and the depth and the foreshadowing, all these different words I don't even heard. When I was talking to her, she's the art person, and when I was talking to her and asking what kind of questions I should be asking you, she was throwing around terminology. I had to stop and say, wait, what does that word mean? So, and I'm married to her 33 years, and I never heard these words. Her depth is just, like, unbelievable. But we had this there's a Barnett Newman at the DIA, and it is a 6-foot, it's 8 feet wide by 6 foot high. It's totally burgundy with a white stripe down the middle of it. And I kind of look, and I don't know anything about these things. I'm just kind of like, la, 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 I'm walking into the museum. I'm looking at the pictures. And I look at her and I say, why is there a picture of a ping pong table hanging on the wall? Oh, man. And then she looked it up and was this, you know, this is, but Barnett Newman himself, his whole thing was portraying creation. So how did you add anything Jewish to the ping pong table, for example?
Oh, that was really fun. So because he has, like, you know, usually split colors,
mm-hmm.
It's divided in two, either horizontally or vertically. That was easy enough, you know, day and night, the moon and the stars, the fish and the sea, you know, the ground, the different, you know, if you look at it. And then Shabbos is just plain white, and it has just two very faint candles in the background. So that lends itself really well.
Mm-hmm. So now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, although the 6 day of creation, you know, I just mm-hmm. made, I split the screen, you know, one half is pink and the other is blue for man and woman.
Oh, okay.
So,
So not everything is humorous. Some things are, like I mentioned in the introduction, some things are very poignant.
Yeah, yeah, and inspirational too, I believe. Like the Hesiodus, the Ansel Adams. Ansel Adams is a very famous photographer who took, you know, pictures of nature. So what I did is I took a picture of the forest, and it looks like early morning, and you see I put a man with a talus davening and called it Hesiodus.
Mm-hmm.
And
which means alone time. Yes.
Yes.
Indeed. If you're just joining us, our guest is Esther Frankel. Fersel's written a book called Converted Masters, World Famous Masterpieces with a Jewish Twist. It is available published by Menorah Press and available wherever fine Jewish works can be procured. Everybody seems to have their own when they're ever involved out in the world, whatever their profession is, and they see something that, like, their interest just like peaks and say, I could do that with this. Are you like on autopilot now? You see a picture that you haven't seen before, and you'd say, I could do that to that.
Yeah, I guess my mind kind of is programmed for that now. But I believe that I've exhausted most of, you know, the works out there that, you know, I could use in this way.
Mm-hmm. How many are there? I didn't count, but how many are there in this book?
60. There are 60 images that I put a Jewish twist in.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the last chapter. I don't know if you got to see that.
I did.
I titled it Oyvei, that's Yiddish expressions. And I matched them with different famous artworks.
Mm-hmm. So
that was really fun.
So 60 paintings plus the fewer so that you did that you couldn't get copy. How long did it take you to do this project, Esther?
I probably started around 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it was on and off. And then when I got into the copyrights and saw how complicated it was, I just I wasn't even sure it was doable. You know, I consulted with a lawyer, attorney, Vitus Arts attorney, and I remember just even dropping it for a few months. I was like, I don't know. This is like, I don't know if this is going to work or not. Maybe I just have this to show my friends and family that come over, and I'm not sure this is doable.
But
somehow, over time, it worked out.
Indeed, and everybody's happy, even the people that you have to get the copyrights from. Have you been traveling around? Do you do shows?
So I haven't begun that yet, but we're looking into that. I'm probably going to do a show at Vacation Village. That's in the Catskills.
Okay.
And they have a gallery once a year in August. And I think that's a good place for me to exhibit my book.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. We'll see what happens then.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking maybe of making art shows per se.
Yeah, well, there's a gallery actually in Philadelphia, the Jewish Old City. They have a Jewish gallery there,
mm-hmm.
a Chabad, and I'm thinking of putting up my works there.
Okay, I'm very familiar with that. We're good friends with Menachem Schmidt. Indeed.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, indeed. Uh-huh. Okay, so my wife's favorite in the whole book is a take-off of an Edward Munch. I don't know how to say it.
Yes.
And she knows this picture quite well, and she's just like has always been like enthralled with this picture, but she really identifies with it, because what you've done is the original picture is a person who is standing on a bridge, and the person is somewhat like alienic looking, has like a really drawn, elongated face, and is just like engaged with their head in front of their mouth and just like screaming. And then you have the picture is juxtaposed now. What you did is you have it in a kitchen, and on the kitchen counter there's a crock pot. And the scream is now because 13 guests and burnt chalent, which is Shabbos stew. So my wife saw that. She just guffawed. She could identify with it.
Yeah, that's a fun one. I get a laugh. Most people, you know, look at that and I get a laugh out of that.
Mm-hmm. So are you still doing these, Esty? Are you
and
like, I'm hanging up my paintbrushes, I'm just going to do something else now?
I'm kind of doing my own work now. You know, I stopped taking other people's work and putting a Jewish twist. I think I'm done with that. I think I've exhausted that, and now I'm just doing my own work. Back to my own style. Finding what it is after, you know, copying different artists for so long. I'm trying to find my own style again. And I'm busy promoting the book.
Mm-hmm. Okay, understood. I have one question which I just forgot, unfortunately. I'm listening to you and looking at the book, and I'm really enthralled. It's a great book. Again, the
Thank
book
you.
Is called Converted Masters, World Famous Masterpieces with a Jewish Twist by S.D. Frankel Fursell. And, when you decided to break it up into, it's broken into chapters, how did you come up? Were the pictures first and you said, well, we can group these here? Or did you go to make about, I have this group and I'm going to make these pictures to fit into it?
No, I had a bunch of paintings. It was a hodgepodge, I really didn't. And then I realized it would be much nicer to have it organized. It would be easier for the viewer. So I went about just organizing it into chapters. And I think it worked out really nicely because mm-hmm. it starts out with a Magritte with an apple, the famous Magritte with an apple in front of his face. Mm-hmm. And that's the beginning of time. And I explained that, Adam took the first bite of the apple and was thrust into the workplace, and that's why he's wearing a suit and a hat. And then the book ends with a bird in front of his face. Mm-hmm. In front of the same, guy with a suit and a bowler hat with the bird. And it talks about the Messianic era and that, our suffering isn't meant to last forever. One day... there's a midrash that we will be saved. We will be taken on the birds of an eagle back to Eretz Yisrael. And that those are the end of days. So that's how the beginning of the book starts and ends.
Mm-hmm. This is a question actually my wife would think of. Artists, when they develop their style, are looking to convey some sort of meaning and have therefore developed that type of style. And she said this is even applies even with people who are copyists when they copy things and parody this, like as you've been parodying it.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to convey through these 60 or so copies, Esty?
Well, I think Joseph Telushkin put it really well. I showed him the images of the book a couple years ago, and I really like what he had to say. I'm going to quote him. Combining real art, Esther Frankel Fussell has made a truly original contribution to the world of Jewish humor in a series of takeoffs on the greatest paintings and a reminder that all can be refracted through the Jewish experience. And I think that really encapsulates what I've done here. I've taken just, ordinary works, not so ordinary, they're pretty famous and the big masters, but just that you can look through it through the Jewish prism. So you can always look at something and take it to a higher level.
Awesome. Awesome. That's terrific. Okay. Again, one more time, our guest is Esty Frankel Fursell. The book is Converted Masters, World Famous Masterpieces with a Jewish Twist, published by Menorah Publishing, available on Amazon and any other place where you might find fine Jewish books. Well, thank you so much, and we'll stay in touch.
Yes, thanks so much.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Time for a little a cappella music. This is actually some classic a cappella, which means 10 classic in Jewish music means it's more than 10 years old. The band is Lev Toher. The song is Dudu Bay.
Pa 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 p
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We got another musical piece. We got lots of time in the show today. Everything is just like easy, lay back, chilled. Are you drinking some nice iced coffee maybe? I could use a nice coffee right now. This group is called Vocali, which is Hebrew for vocalize. And you got that Vocali, that's Hebrew. Anyway, but the piece that they're singing is called Mizamashira, which means we're singing a song. It's actually a verse from Psalms.
Shiru, 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 ha-me-sham-ri. Ilai, 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 Let's dance. Sing it.
Someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968. MDS Drug Detox. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Show. We got time for one more. This is one of those child phenoms. His name is Uziah Tzadok. I can imagine Tzadok. I didn't do any biographical research on him, but there are several generations of Israeli singers from like Morocco with the last name Tzadok. And so he's a little kid. And he's going to be not a little kid for very long. And just keep your eye on this person. And he actually, the song he's going to sing that we're going to be playing here is the Kena Legadol, I Should Merit to Grow Up.
Yeah. garden.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurances accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have a book review for you. The next two volumes of the Karin Noah Talmud have come out, and they are running just a little bit ahead of the Daf Yomi cycle. So let's talk a little English. People who know what we're talking about. The very basis of all Jewish law is taken from the Talmud, a tome which was composed some 1,600 years ago and broken into little sections. Actually, they're not so little. Each one is packed. And they've now embarked, because they're following the cycle of those who learn a page a day, which you may think a page a day, what's the big deal, a page a day? But Talmud is so deep. It takes about an hour to study a page. And I would call that superficially studying, spending an hour on a page. So they're now embarking on a section that deals with tort law. The Masechta, the tractate, is called Bava Kamma. It's complete in two volumes. Both volumes are now out. Bava Kamma, for me, was like, I didn't know what hit me when I was in yeshiva. It's one of the yeshiva gemaras, one of the studied in a regular cycle. And for me, it was the first gemara that I studied. And I didn't really get like a good grasp of what the Talmud was trying to do. It's like a difficult thing to just sort of just open. It's not bedtime reading, let me tell you. It has to be studied. And the teachers I had were not, I wouldn't say, I'm not going to complain to them, but I didn't know what hit me. Especially what was in the beginning of the second book, when we start talking about interpersonal damages and stuff like that. It was totally completely foreign to me, and I found it exceedingly difficult, but I've since learned it again since then, of course. When I received these two volumes of the Karin Talmud, I was amazed and impressed that these very difficult ideas, and many of these ideas involving agricultural liabilities, something that I don't have a lot of interest in, and don't have generally a lot of need for, although now that we're starting a farm-type project on Jewish Ferndale, so maybe we will need to delve back and look at what's happening over there if, like, the guys next door, his dogs, come in and start digging up on my property and stuff like that. So, or if my chickens do stuff on his lawn or whatever, you know, it's the whole thing of it. This is all discussed in the Talmud, okay? And the continuing their tradition, learning Talmud till now was basically in black and white. Learning Talmud with the Karin edition Talmud is learning Talmud in color. It just makes it that much more real. This is volume 24 that are up to. If you haven't started, you can set up a subscription so that you can start getting them. You can start with volume 24 and continue to the end as they're coming out. You could probably, even if you wanted to, weren't so interested in the Book of the Month Club is what it's coming out. You could probably wait for the whole thing to come out, or you could subscribe now. And it'll all be there. It's going to be 43 volumes complete. It's going to take up a bookcase. But the depth of knowledge of the world is contained in these books. So definitely, I would say, get a chance. When Jewish Ferndale opens, we will be proudly displaying these tomes, which we have received courtesy of Karin Publishing. Thank you very much. This week's portion is the portion of Pinchas. Let's talk about first a little bit today. Today, right now, is, I said before, I really could use an iced coffee. Well, today's a fast day. The fast started somewhere around 4:30 this morning and will be over sometime around 9:30 tonight, from dawn till dusk. It commemorates the sin of the golden calf, the first time a Torah was burned, the destruction, the breaching of the walls of Nebuchadnezzar in the first temple time, the first time an idol was placed in the area of the sanctuary, and the last day that a sacrifice was offered in the second temple was on this day. This begins the period which is known as Bein HaMitzarim, which means the time between the straits. Straits like in Detroit, the Straits of Gibraltar, for example, Straits, which means a narrow place because it's a narrow time. Ending 3 weeks from today on Tisha B'Av, the ninth day of Av, which really is there to commemorate the destruction of both temples. During this time, Jews refrain from listening to music. That's why we're doing a cappella. They also refrain from all those other things that having to do with, like, being overly joyous. And that would include, believe it or not, even, like, painting your house. Why are you painting your house? To make it look nicer? Sorry. If it's functional and it's things that need to be addressed, okay. We refrain from buying new clothes. People refrain from going to concerts, from getting married. These type of things, and eating new fruit, because when you get a piece of fruit that you haven't had in a year, it's just like, wow! So even things like that, and cutting our hair, for example. So all those things we are putting ourselves in this state of commemorating that we're really not where we're supposed to be. I mean, thank God America is such a wonderful country. And the world in general, as far as the relationship with the Jewish people, is probably the best that it's ever been. Jews live in security, they're granted citizenship, they're involved with business and are able to make a living, they send their kids to all of the best schools, and are thriving, flourishing members of the society in general. But even those Jews that live in Israel really have to understand, we're still in Golis. This is still the exile. Things are not status quo. Things are not the way they're supposed to be. We're supposed to have a temple. We're supposed to be in charge of our own destiny. We're not supposed to be living in other people's countries. We're supposed to have our own. Even in Israel, it's not really our own country, Israel, because they have to turn to this country for aid and that country for permission to do this, and always looking over and seeing, asking what's going on in the UN. That none of that's normal. What's normal is the Jews are in control of their own destiny. And so we take this time and commemorate it, and we ask Hashem that, isn't it about time? It is getting close to 2,000 years since the last sacrifice was offered in the temple. That's two millennia. That's like two whole worlds, you might say, ago. It really is time that during this time, Mashiach should come. In fact, the Rambam, Maimonides, in his magnum opus on Jewish law, writes that as miserable, I don't use the word miserable, as bleak and black and as discouraging as this time is, it says that when Mashiach comes, the greatest holiday on the Jewish calendar, better than Hanukkah, better than Purim, will be Tisha B'Av. Because now we commemorate Tisha B'Av as the day of the destruction of the temple. When we have a temple, we're not going to have to worry. In fact, the third temple that's going to be built is going to be bigger. It's going to be nicer. We'll probably have modern bathrooms even, I'm thinking. Indoor plumbing, sure, and it's an open-air area, so it's not going to need air conditioning, but they'll probably figure out something to do about that when it gets hot. It's going to be built under the auspices of supervision of God. It's going to last forever. we're not even going to remember that we were in exile because it's just going to be so dwarfed. In fact, it says that the Messianic era, compared to what happened with the Jews experienced at the Exodus of Egypt, at the splitting of the sea, and even at the giving of the Torah, which till today has been the greatest revelation of godliness experienced in the world, will be like a candle in the sunshine. Very interesting thing about a candle. Candles, you know, you have a dark room. And you light a candle, the room's not dark anymore. But if you take a candle and you light it outside at noon, maybe a little afternoon, it will cast a shadow. The light itself is causing darkness. That's how great it's going to be when Mashiach comes. This ties in directly with the portion of the week that the beginning of the 3 weeks is Parshas Pinchas, for the most part. Pinchas was a zealot. When no one else was willing to stand up and do what was needed to be done to fulfill God's will, Pinchas stood up like a vigilante even and did what needed to be done. And in this week's portion, God says, he calls him a kino es kinosi. He was jealous for me. He stood in where I should have been, says God. That's what we need to be doing now. We want to have, and what happened? He got to be the high priest. What are we looking for? We need the same kanoias. We need the same jealousy. We need the same alacrity as the Pinchas to get us through this time, the black period on the Jewish calendar, as they call it. Because, if, like I tell people all the time, if there's not a Mashiach at the end of this equation, why did we even bother starting? Speaking of starting, we got to take a quick commercial break. We have the Hasidic story coming up next. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman, here you are, listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? The easiest, best way? Go to rabbifinman.com. R-A-B-B-I-F-I-N-M-A-N, all word.com. And there, right on the homepage, you have a contact link. Contact me. I'll contact you. We'll be best friends forever. You'll also find archived editions of the show, archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U-Story, which are messages conveying Judaism in hopefully an entertaining and educational way in different media other than just audio, as we have here. We also have the very important donation pages. Thank God. This was a good week. We were complaining last week about not paying off June, and there was just a flurry between the giving on the internet and mail that we received at 14,000 West 9 Mile. We paid off June this week. So if we could pay off July this week, then I won't sit here and make an appeal. That's a promise, Blinetta Fromm, on my part. So go to rabbifinman.com. If you haven't done it yet, it's very easy, it's very simple, it's very safe. If you have a PayPal account, it takes 30 seconds without exaggeration. If you don't have a PayPal account, it'll take you 3 minutes. And either way, a lot of people did this. I'm very happy that this is a possibility. You can do it as monthly. Okay? People will like to give. Listen, a person wants to give $180, but they can't give $180. That's a lot of money. But you could give $15 a month. If you give $15 a month, $15 a month, that's like two lunches. $15 a month over 12 months, $180. You did it. That's 10 times high, 18 being the numerical value of the word life in Hebrew. So you have a complete life by doing $15 a month. And a lot of people actually are starting to do that. And you can do that all on rabbifinman.com. Don't like internet giving credit cards over the internet, that kind of stuff. I understand fully. Every time I put my credit card on, type it into my computer, I get, oh, this is going to, I hope this works every single time.
Send your donation in any amount to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. The previous Lubavitcher Rebbe came traveling to America in 1929, 1930, and actually spent, he came to Detroit. There's actually a whole article that someone found in the archives of the Detroit News, I believe it was. He came to Philadelphia, and it made, hit the newspapers. This is a big thing. He was a world figure. I mean, Herbert, he had like a, this whole correspondence with Herbert Hoover going on during the 20s. And it was because of I'm not sure if it was Herbert Hoover, Calvin Coolidge, that actually got him out of Russia. And he had been sentenced to get killed, to get executed. And there was pressure put on by the American president on his behalf. He was a celebrity. So some guys are sitting there, some teenagers, and they're reading the Jewish newspaper, and they see that this rabbi is coming to town. And they have some of his philosophy they're talking about. There's like a little interview about what this person does, a biography. And one of them says, I wonder, is he trying to replace God? So they went to their rabbi and they asked that question. Is this rabbi trying to replace God? So the rabbi said, he's in town. Why don't you go ask? So they found where he was staying. I think it was Strawberry Hill, if I'm correctly, the section that was in, which was the old Jewish neighborhood at the time. A big, massive house was given at his disposal. And they go up to the porch, they knock on the door, and the secretary, Chatzka Fagan, comes out and says, what do you want? And he says, we want to see the rabbi. We have a question. He says, what question do you have? He says, they're not going to ask him. They're not going to tell the secretary, oh, by the way, we want to know if the rabbi is going to replace God. What they said was, we want to ask the rabbi, how can an ancient religion such as Judaism survive in the modern America? So he says, okay, come in, sit down. I'll go tell the rabbi you're standing here, but you see there's a whole crowded living room. So they figure they're going to have to wait a little bit. 10 minutes later, they're told the rabbi will see you now. He says, there's a whole room in front of us. He said, the rabbi wants to see you now. They walk in. The rabbi is having his audiences up the stairs. They walk up the stairs, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe is standing there with a big smile on his face. And he shook every one of their hands, which kind of caught them off guard, because they were told rabbis don't shake hands. And he sat them all around in a table and had them sit down. There were four of them. And the first thing he said was, you're probably wondering why it is that I had you cut in line. He says, well, let me tell you what's going on downstairs. There's somebody down there who's got a sick kid, and he wants me to pray for him. I don't know if my prayers are going to work, and he can pray too. There's another person there who wants to know about a business dealing, and he wants my blessing that it should be successful. He says, if I had such blessings, I'd be in business, I'd be a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to go around collecting money. Then there's another person who's got a law case. What do I know about law? He says, but you, your question about how to make Judaism relevant, if I can't answer that question, then I can't be a rabbi. Then he started, and he said, do you think I do all of the commandments? He said, no, I don't. But what do I do? I do them the best that I possibly can. And I always look for doing the best that I can. And that's what you should do. You should always look to do your best in whatever it is that you can. And he thanked them very much. One of them went to take out some money, and he said, I'm not taking your money. What I want from you all is that you find one mitzvah and dedicate it to yourself. And the person who was telling this story was told in 1992, said that day he decided to put on tefillin, and he has not missed a day, though he's supposed to put on tefillin ever since. That's going to do it. We want to thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a whole lot, because I've had a great time. We hope to see you again next week. If you're fasting, have an easy fast. Take care.
Fire the stockbroker and hire yourself. I'm Larry Levin, and I've been on the trading floor for 23 years. I was one of the biggest traders in the S&P pit. I'm also the president of